Please rise as you are able for the reading of today's scripture from Matthew chapter 6, verses 22-23. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you so much, Andy, for reading our scripture. And we're so excited about your Bible, your third grade Bible, and all of our third graders that we'll be celebrating at each of our services this morning. How many of you, out of curiosity, if you are United Methodist, this is a tradition that's been going on about 50 years, how many of you received a third grade Bible? Raise your hand. Well, that's probably half the group. That's amazing. So we celebrate that, and we're grateful to Megan Teagarden and to Ellen Garrett and all of our children's ministry staff and volunteers for what all of you mean to us. It's so great to see our Sunny Day volunteers in their purple and yellow shirts. We had such a marvelous worship service together on Tuesday morning of this week, celebrating a number of our folks who have gone on to be with God since last time. And it was kind of an All Saints moment for us. And we're 3 weeks from that. Can you believe that? When you see the calendar, it's October the 11th. And so we're in the thick of the fall season. And it was really nice to get up to 43 degrees this morning, wasn't it? It was beautiful. If you have not picked up one of these devotional books that is a part of our generosity theme for October, I hope you'll get one. They are full of stories of people's experiences of God's transforming grace, and they've meant so much to us already after a week, and we hope you'll pick up one of those today. Well, friends, we're continuing our series that we began last Sunday called With All My Heart. And if you were here, you recall that we talked about how we're remaining in Matthew chapters 5 through 7, which is a part of the Sermon on the Mount. We just completed a series called Living Inside Out, but we're camping out in 16 verses in the month of October, between Matthew 6, 19, and verse 34, where Jesus specifically addresses our relationship, a disciple's relationship, to finances, to materials, and to possessions. And I want to add to the reading that Andy shared with us by reading an interesting paraphrase of what she read. She read from the New Revised Standard Version. I want to read Matthew 6, 22 and 23 from The Message, which is Eugene Peterson's more postmodern vernacular language. Listen to these words. Your eyes are windows into your body. If you open your eyes wide in wonder and belief, your body fills with light. But if you live squinty-eyed in greed and distrust, your body is like a dank cellar. If you pull the blinds on your windows, what a dark life you will have. It's interesting that the ancients in the first century regarded the eye not only as a window through which light enters the body, but also as a lamp through which light is projected into the world. The ancients believed that the eye was not just an organ of vision, but that the eye was the seat of expression. In other words, your eyes reveal the disposition of your heart. It was Cicero, the first century Greco-Roman philosopher, who said the eyes are the window to the soul. And I think it's true. It's in the eyes. And that's not just a statement about eyesight. It's really a statement about insight. Your perspective in life, or your outlook in life, is to a large degree a projection of what's in your heart. In other words, what you see is often what you project. You remember the old poem, two men looked out from prison bars. One saw mud, the other saw stars. It's all about perspective, I love the old story, you've heard it, of a cruise ship. On board the cruise ship was a man who declared that he could tell by the look in people's eyes their profession. There was a skeptical man aboard. He didn't believe he could do it. He said, try me. He said, what does that fellow do coming on board ship right now? He said, that's easy. He's a doctor. He went up to the man, said, excuse me, sir, what do you do for a living? He said, I'm a surgeon. Couldn't believe it. He went back to the man. How did you know? I could tell by the studious look in his eye. I could tell he must be a doctor. Indeed, he was. Well, he said, I know you couldn't do it again. What does this fellow do coming on board now? He said, it's easy. He's a lawyer. He went up to the man. What do you do for a living? He said, I'm a lawyer. He couldn't believe it. He went back to the guessing man. How did you know? He said, I could see the care lines, the creases in his eyes. There was a studious look about him. The way he carried himself took him to be an academician, took him to be a lawyer. Well, he said, I know you couldn't do it three times in a row. What does this man do coming on board now? He said, it's easy. He's a Methodist preacher. He went up to the man. He said, excuse me, sir, are you a Methodist preacher? He said, no, I'm seasick. That's why I look so puny. It's in the eyes. It's easy from this lofty perch on Sunday morning to see who's here and who's not here, who's engaged and who's disengaged. It's in the eyes. It's all in our perspective. Foresight depends on insight. Anybody remember the old Rorschach test? Psychologists and psychiatrists would use this test where subjects were presented with these ink blots that had really no meaning to them. But the perceptions, the interpretations of the patients were recorded as they viewed these ink blots and then were analyzed in order to assess personality disorder and emotional dysfunction. Because the truth is, to a large degree, what you see is what you project. It's interesting that therapists and counselors and Stephen ministers, in fact, are trained to listen with their eyes. Did you know that your eyes can hear? That your eyes pick up more than verbiage, than language. They pick up countenance. In the youth choir, before we come to worship, we always pray that God will use our body language, our faces, our eyes, to communicate the good news of Jesus. It's in the demeanor. It's in the body language. It's possible to listen with your eyes. It's also possible to see with your ears. I know that sounds strange. I remember a woman in one of our churches who was blind. She was on our staff parish relations committee. She couldn't see a thing, but she could read people by the sound of their voice. And so whenever we were hiring a new person, we wanted Amanda in the room because she could sense by the tone, by the timbre. She could tell by a person's intonation, inflection, and cadence who they were on the inside. She could see with her ears, and she could perceive what we could not. Jesus says the eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. Now, it's fascinating to me that the word in Greek for healthy is haplous. It's pronounced haplous. It literally means singular or undivided, focused. The healthy eye, according to Jesus, is an eye that can focus. It's interesting how often in the scripture there is a correlation, isn't there, between the heart and the eye. In fact, you see it earlier in Jesus' signature sermon, chapter 5, verse 8, in the Beatitudes. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. The phrase pure in heart doesn't mean that you never have an impure thought. It means that you have a singular focus. It means that you have an undivided devotion. The great Danish philosopher Soren Kierkegaard said purity of heart is the ability to will one thing. I saw an interesting acronym for focus, which means follow one course until successful. I think it was the capacity to focus that inspired Paul to write to the Philippians after his conversion experience, Philippians 3:13, this one thing I do, forgetting all that is behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. A healthy eye is a focused eye. My optometrist is a member of this church. He'll be here at 9:45. And I was having some problems. I wear contact lenses, and he prescribed for me lenses called monovision. Some of you wear that. Monovision, in my right eye, I can see to read, to see my notes, but in my left eye, I can see what you're doing on the back row. And that means you, Ruby. Don't laugh, Carl. Monovision, so that I can see up close and so that I can see far away. I'm terribly myopic. I'm terribly nearsighted. But because my optometrist has prescribed for me both lenses, so now that I can read, I can see, I have this sense of focus. Who was it that said? It was James 1:8. A double-minded person is unstable in all his or her ways. I can tell by some of your body language in the room that you may be saying, I get that and I appreciate that, but what in the world does that have to do with stewardship? Well, I'm getting there. The word haplos not only conveys focus, but it also connotes generosity. That word haplos, which sounds a little bit like happy, conveys the idea of open-handedness, liberality. If the eye is haplos, generous, focused, then your body is full of light. And then Jesus gives us the antithesis. But if your eye is unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. The word in Greek for darkness, for unhealthy, is poneros, which means begrudging. It means spiteful. It means greedy and miserly. When Jesus was teaching this on the hillside, the image that the original hearers would have had in mind when he talked about the unhealthy eye was a concept you still know as the evil eye. Have you ever heard that phrase? Everybody has an evil eye. My dad used to use that phrase all the time. And I want you to know that my father, who was a preacher, if you were talking, he could give you the evil eye. Now, mothers of preschoolers are proficient in the use of the evil eye, and so are grandmothers sometimes. In our postmodern vernacular, we refer to it as the stink eye. Have you ever heard that phrase? The stink eye. That is a malevolent glance, a spiteful glare that conveys a begrudging spirit. And the ancients believed that it was possible to bring about evil results in somebody's life simply through a malicious gaze. I think there's some truth to that. In the Mishnah, which was the oral law, it was written that a person with the evil eye was one who could not bear the good fortune of somebody else. Just couldn't bear it. That grace was deserved for me, but not for you. It's the stingy eye. It's the jaundiced eye. It's the stink eye. It's the squinty eye that is attached to a miserly heart. I found the key to this entire text this week, oddly enough, in Matthew chapter 20. It's in the parable of the laborers. Now listen to this. You remember that story where a landowner goes out early in the morning, 6 a.m., to hire folks, day laborers, to work in his vineyard, 12 hours. He agrees to pay each of them a denarius for a full day's work. He goes out again at 9 a.m. and hires folks to work 9 hours. He goes out again at 12 noon, lunch hour, hires folks to work 6 hours. He goes out at 3 p.m., 3-hour workers. And finally, he goes out at 5 o'clock. People are only going to work for 1 hour. And he loads the ox cart and he takes them back to the vineyard. Well, that evening at 6 o'clock, when the laborers had gathered at the cash box to get their wages, the 12-hour laborers, those who had been in the field all day and borne the heat, noticed that the 9-hour laborers and the 6-hour laborers and the 3-hour laborers and the 1-hour laborers, they were all getting the same wage. Can you imagine their response? Matthew says they were beside themselves. They protested, they complained, and rightly so, if you ask me. When the boss saw their body language, their dissatisfaction, he says to them, "Did you not agree to work for me for a denarius? Am I not allowed to do what I choose with that which belongs to me? Or do you begrudge my generosity?" That last line is a loose paraphrase. Do you begrudge my generosity? Let me give you the closer paraphrase translation in the Greek. Or is your eye bad because I am good? And I realized the key to the text. The 12-hour folks were giving the others the stink eye because of the generosity of the master towards them. The bad eye cannot see the beauty of grace. The divided heart cannot understand the joy of generosity. And oftentimes in my own life, there is a spiritual myopia that affects me to the point that I begin to lose sight of grace. I want to illustrate this and I'm finished. Many of you know Reverend Shebby Shields. She's on our staff. She's with us this morning. She leads our divorce recovery ministry. She was telling me recently about her trip to Scotland. She made a trip to Scotland. She did a lot of hiking. She had a wonderful time. It was a great trip, she said, except for one thing. Her luggage never arrived in Scotland. The friends that she was traveling with were friendly enough to share of their wardrobes. When she flew back home, still no luggage, and after several phone calls and two airlines disclaiming responsibility, she drove to the Nashville Airport Claims Office in order to give them a piece of her mind. Now, if you know Shebby, that doesn't seem right. It would take a lot to make Shebby Shields mad. She went to the airport to give them a piece of her mind. The two agents, however, were extremely helpful. They spent 2 hours trying to solve the mystery of the missing luggage, and one of them, who was helping Shebby, noticed that Shebby's address was on the paperwork, and they saw that. The agent said, "I see you're having your bag sent to Brentwood." Shebby said, "Yes, I'm having it sent there to my place of employment." And she said, "Well, that's interesting." She said, "Where do you work?" She said, "Brentwood United Methodist Church." And she said, "You know, I used to live in Brentwood for many years, and then I moved to Franklin, and I pass by your church every day on my way to work, and I've seen this sign out front about divorce recovery in the yard, and I went through a divorce myself 17 months ago, and I'm still having a hard time. Do you know anything about that program?" Turns out she does. It's her work. It's just like God. Long story short, Shebby still hasn't received her luggage. And she probably never will. But she's okay with it. Because she went to the airport to give somebody a piece of her mind. And she wound up helping someone find peace of mind. Because Shebby Shields has a good eye. She has a generous eye. She has an undivided heart. And it affects every part of her being. Paul prays a beautiful prayer in Ephesians 1:8. Listen to this. "I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which Christ has called you, and that you may know the riches of his glorious grace that you may share it openly, generously, with all your heart. That's Paul's prayer for the Ephesians. That's my prayer for the Brentwoodians. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.